You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Preview Shock.
Hello, welcome back to 1874. It's time for a preview show now as Aston Villa head to Fulham at Craven Cottage on Saturday. I'm your host, Dan Bardell, joined by my good friend, David Reed. And this show is, of course, sponsored by NordVPN. And you can get yourself a deal if you head to 1874.io/NordVPN. Head there and you'll get a huge discount, including 4 months for free off your NordVPN plan. And for English-speaking countries, the deal sweetens because you'll get additional Uber Eats vouchers as well. This exclusive deal is only applicable in the USA, UK, Australia and Canada. And all this is completely risk-free because Nord offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. Dave, Craven Cottage, not been a happy hunting ground for Villa in the main over the last few years. Well, actually, for as long as I can remember, but it's fair to say we could do with some form of result this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I think that memories always seems to go back to, the most recent one, really, and the Steven Gerrard's last game in charge, which I'm sure you'll have memories of as well.
I do. I've got to say, I was probably the most drunk I've ever been at a Villa game and probably the most vociferous I've ever been at a Villa game. I really did not like Steven Gerrard that evening.
It was a low point, wasn't it? But it was one of those where the players, I don't think, stopped running or stopped working hard. It was just there was nothing there. There was just nothing there. They were trying at that point, but there was just nothing going to change the way and the momentum that Villa had at that point. But yeah, I mean, what a kind of 18 months it's been since then, or just less than that. And you've got to go into this thinking that we can go there and get a win. Even though form has been a little bit patchy recently, I do think we can go there and get a result.
Yeah, even like when we were probably doing a show before the Fulham game, we probably kept referring to the terms no tactical plan, moments of magic, what's going on. Probably now we can't do a show, a podcast, a preview without talking about injuries, because what on earth are Villa going to do at centre-half this weekend?
Yeah, great question. I don't know. I think first things first, let's try and find out a little bit more tomorrow when Emery does his press conference around Diego Carlos. I saw Jacob wrote a piece that he suffered a hamstring injury, so we'll find out the severity of that. My thought would be any kind of hamstring injury, you wouldn't, unless it was just a small kind of cramping, that you wouldn't want to have any kind of risk attached to that. And given the situation that Villa have at centre-back, it feels to me like there is no need to risk a player when it's a hamstring injury, because it could well get worse, or in fact, you know, have a kind of harder tear if there is a kind of small one there. So it doesn't. I think the first things first is to find out tomorrow what's going on with Diego Carlos. But I don't really know what we're going to do at centre back, because would he consider playing two left footers in Longley and Torres if he's fit? And then the other alternative is to bring someone like Callum Chambers in from the cold, which would be an unbelievable turnaround for him, who was free to go, free to leave in January, and now could find himself as a starting centre-back.
Yeah, against his old team as well. He had a year at Fulham, didn't he? And he won player of the season, if my memory serves me correctly. First things first as well on this show, Dave Reid's having all kinds of audio issues. You cannot be turning your head when you're talking, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
Got to stay straight, face on. Come on. If you work under Unai Emery, you know all about body positions, how you should receive the ball and things like that. You should know how to... You can't be moving your head. Head position's critical for a podcast with these audio issues that we're having, Dave.
Okay, body position, head position is now going to stay fully focused on you.
I know you're a flair player. You like to do your own thing, but you're going to have to be quite regimented through this show. It would be an incredible turnaround for Callum Chambers. He played that European game that we lost 3-2. Was it Legia Warsaw, that one that we lost 3-2? And then has never really been seen again, even when it's been heavy rotation and people rested. Chambers has still just remained on the bench. He hasn't been picked in the European squad, of course, but to me, it feels the logical move, because like you say, with Longley and Torres, if Torres is fit enough to start, we can't even build up in a back three, because the two fullbacks are orthodox fullbacks, whoever plays. And also now Kamara, who was dropping in to make it a back three, that might have worked. He's not here either. I can't see Tielemans or Luiz or McGinn doing that job. So Aston Villa now cannot build up in a back three. There's even an argument to play Chambers at right back and play Pau Torres and Longley there so that they can build up in a back three and the left back bombs on. So it is going to be really fascinating to see what Villa do, because I'm not sure how they get around this problem at the moment without a right-footed centre-back.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Unai Emery is going to chuck everything out and create a new way of building
up. That wouldn't be, would it? That would be us doing what we're doing, not Chambers essentially being Konsa, because I can't see another way around it.
No, I think a lot of responsibility will fall on Matty Cash to protect the right centre back. And if it is Callum Chambers, then I think whatever happens on Saturday afternoon, we can't judge him too harshly if things don't go particularly well for him, because he's not played any football. He's, as far as I'm aware, I don't even think he's played 23. So he's had no match sharpness whatsoever. And I think, the Fulham game plan, it's to stick their centre forward on the right centre back and give him a hard time if it is going to be Callum Chambers. But I think Villa's game plan should be around trying to protect that right centre back, whether it's Callum Chambers or whether it's Longley who shifts over, because it's a prime target for whoever it is. I suspect that he will go with, if Diego Carlos isn't fit, I suspect that he will bring in Callum Chambers. In which position, I'm not too sure. But I suspect that if Diego Carlos isn't there, he will go with Callum Chambers.
My inkling is that Pau Torres will be fit and will start. It's just who's playing next to him and then who is playing that right centre-back. You never really raise any eyebrows when you see a right-footed centre-back playing left centre-back. But for some reason, when a left-footer's playing right centre-back, it feels worse. I don't know why. I think it's just because it's something that you haven't seen happen anywhere over the years. Villa, of course, have got problems in midfield as well. Boubacar Kamara ruled out for the foreseeable, out for the rest of the season. There's a couple of options with what Villa do here. They could bring in Irigbunam into midfield. They could play McGinn as a six. What I think they might do for this first game without him is try Tielemans and Luiz there, because I think you lose something going forward if you've got McGinn in the sixth position. But I'm also not fully convinced about Tielemans and Luiz as a two. I'm not sure Tielemans is mobile enough defensively to in transition as well to play as a two. So again, I'm not really sure what Unai Emery's thinking here, but he's going to have to come up with some form of solution. But my gut is telling me that Tielemans will start as a six and we'll see how we go.
I think my gut's telling me the other way, really, that he'll go with McGinn as the central midfield, just because of the reasons you outlined there. I'm not sure Tielemans' dynamism is enough for him to play central midfield in a two, particularly when we lose the ball. He is, it's fairly obvious that nobody in the squad does the same thing as what Boubacar Kamara can. But the closest kind of athleticism-wise is going to be John McGinn. So that's why I think he'll probably go with McGinn partnering Douglas Luiz, and then Tielemans as the second striker alongside Watkins, with Bailey on the right and probably Ramsey on the left. It feels like the rest of the team picks itself, because they're the only players that are kind of left and available and are of a sufficient and required level for the rest of the Premier League season. I know there's obviously still question marks around Zaniolo. I think we would have seen him a bit more if there was full faith in him for Premier League football over the last couple of weeks, but we haven't really seen much of him. So I feel like the rest of the midfield and forward line almost picks itself because of the injury situation.
It needs players to step up now, doesn't it? It needs some of the players you've just mentioned. I think it needs either Diaby, Rodgers or Zaniolo now to step up and kind of grab a first team shirt by the scruff of its neck, because we are short now. There's no other way of looking at it. It's vintage Villa, really, that, you know, Dendonca was surplus, hadn't really played, was let go. He'd have been great cover at centre-back and defensive midfield at this point. But of course, this injury falls straight after the January transfer window shuts and we're left in a position where we can't really do anything. I guess there is a case that Tielemans could play central and Diaby comes in alongside Watkins, but I can't see Ramsey losing his place now. I think what he needs at this point is games. I thought he was very good, especially in the first half against Manchester United, and he's still a game-changing player for Villa that we haven't had all season. So if we can get him back to the form that we know he has, that could be a bit of a game changer for us. Because again, it feels like there's quite a lot of Villa players you could say this about. They're quite unique. We don't have anyone else who can come in and do a job. When everyone's fit, we've got all these brilliant options, all these different types of players, but everyone isn't fit at the moment. So we could do with the Ramsey of last season at this point. And I do think there's starting to be glimmers that that's coming back.
Yeah, he's just that final touch away. He's that final decision-making. It's the final kind of body shape, the final pass, the final shot that he's just missing at the moment. His movement's absolutely there now again. I think his ball carrying's absolutely there now again. It's just that final thing. And it just takes one moment, or it just takes, you know, a game or another game or so, because you feel like every single game now it's progressing and progressing with Ramsey to get back to that level that we've seen previously. So I think it's there, and it could well happen for him this weekend where he manages to either get a goal or create something out of nothing for somebody else. So he has to start on the left-hand side, Jacob Ramsey, this weekend. I think he's really close. He's really close. And as you're right, because there's a few players that are teetering on the edge of either getting back into form or being in form. And it's like, you know, Diaby, you're right, needs to just get that one moment again. And I thought he might have got it when he got the goal the other week, but it's not still not quite happening for him. I'm interested that he's now, when he's bringing on Diaby, he's playing him wide, which we haven't really seen. I think most of this season, if not all of, apart from the last couple of weeks, when Diaby has played, he's played as the second striker. And then when he came on against Sheffield United, he played out wide. And then in a couple more recent games, he's come on and played in a wide position as well. So I think maybe that's something that he's learning, that position as well, because maybe Unai Emery has thought, well, it's not quite working for him in that second striker position, so let's move him into a wider area.
I quite like McGinn in that second striker role, because I think his and Watkins pressing together is quite useful through the middle of the pitch. And McGinn actually being able to press as one of the highest players, I think, helps. But it will be interesting to see what Emery does with the team this season, because we're in unprecedented times now with the players that we've got missing. It's getting bordering on ridiculous, all the stuff that keeps happening to us. And I was glad you called it out on Sky Sports News the other day, because Emery hasn't complained about all the injuries. It hasn't really cropped up in the media, but we've known as Villa fans all season that it's been a big, big problem. But Villa have just got on with it, rolled the sleeves up, to sound like Steve Bruce, and, you know, kept themselves towards the top of the table. So where Villa are still now at this point, I think is an incredible achievement, considering what they've had to deal with through the season. Is this must win this weekend? Is it a must win game, in your opinion?
No, I don't think so. I think the teams around us are still close enough, and they'll still drop points for us to be still in the race. But I think when you've got the three games coming up now before we play Tottenham, the Tottenham game is obviously going to be absolutely crucial. But if we can pick up 7 or at best, obviously 9 out of 9 points, that's going to put us in a really good position to go in against Tottenham. I don't think it's must win, but I definitely think we can't lose this game. I think if you go away from home in the Premier League and get a point, and we've not been terrible away from home at all. We've still picked up some very good results. It was just our home form was that good at the time that everybody kind of didn't think about how we were getting on away from home, but we're still doing very well away from home. So I don't think it's must win, but it's definitely not lose, I would say.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Fulham then. really suffering without Mitrovic, it felt like this season. I think Marco Silva's an exceptional manager, and I think he's done a brilliant job there. And I think some of the probably clubs that are bigger than Fulham could do a lot worse than looking at him in the summer if they're looking to replace their manager, West Ham. For example, I think Marco Silva's done a tremendous job, not on a massive budget. You know, there's a lot of players playing there that played in the promotion season. They'll be in no relegation danger this season. They were in no relegation danger last season. They can be easy on the eye at times with some of the football that's played. They've got João Paulinho in the midfield, who I think is a top six player, really. But he's, you know, he's still at Fulham and he does an excellent job for them. When he's not there, you really notice it. Unfortunately, he will be there on Saturday. But in recent weeks, it feels like they've found a centre forward or got a centre forward that's got a little bit of confidence, which was perhaps what they were lacking earlier on in the season.
Yeah, and how ironic that they brought in Armando Broja on deadline day, and now the guy that he's come in to replace has suddenly found a little bit of form, and he's almost impossible to drop. And you read in the media around clauses, etc., that if he doesn't play enough minutes or he doesn't make enough starts for Fulham, then Fulham are going to owe Chelsea some money. But it's impossible for Fulham to drop Muniz when he's scoring goals. So they've got themselves in this position where they've brought in a striker to play, and he's being kept out of the team by a guy who's suddenly found a little bit of form that felt like it was a little bit unexpected that he was going to find some form. So, yeah, I mean, Fulham are only a couple more results away from probably confirming their Premier League status again. It's, you know, it's going to be 35, 36 points to stay up. I think they're 10 points already ahead of Everton. So, you know, they're not quite on the beach yet, that phrase, on the beach, but they're getting pretty close to it. So I think from their point of view, it's another successful season. Mid-table for Fulham and their supporters, I think, is a successful season and not getting dragged into a relegation fight. They'll have, obviously, Alex Iwobi back, Calvin Bassey back this week from the Africa Cup of Nations. I doubt they would both be chucked straight in because it was an energy-sapping final in the heat. And I can't imagine they would be chucked straight in, but they're two good players to bring back for Fulham. And I suspect they'll be able to be on the bench on Saturday. And then, as you say, they've got Paulinho in midfield, who is a tremendous player. And then the players out wide are always capable of something when you've got Willian, Bobby Di Cordova-Reed, if he starts, or whether it's Harry Wilson that comes in for him. But they've got dangerous players, and that is what Villa will have to be careful of, particularly as we've seen on the break recently.
Yeah, Willian caused absolute turmoil last season at Craven Cottage, from what I remember in my haze. I remember him just every time he got the ball, he looked like he was going to make something happen. We will pick this up again, but before we do, let's hear a little bit more about our sponsors, NordVPN. 1874 is proudly sponsored by NordVPN, so when ain't and you can't watch it, we want to help you. NordVPN is a secure and private service which works on pretty much any device, including your laptop, mobile, or television. So if you want to watch some live content, it allows you to appear like you're in another country. And whilst you're connected, no one else can find out what you're doing, including your internet service provider. Beyond this, the service also has threat protection baked in to protect you from intrusive website ads and malware, which is pretty handy for you. As part of NordVPN support performance for free, this also includes Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. All you've got to do is go to 1874.io/NordVPN and sign up. All the details are also in the description. As always, we're very grateful to anyone that signs up. We know that money is tight, but if you think NordVPN will help you out, it will also help keep the channel running and help us too. What feels like maybe a key battle in this game at the weekend is actually Leon Bailey up against Anthony Robinson. I think that could be a key battle. He's a player that I've always rated. I think for £1 million, that's a sensational signing by Fulham. Been there a few years now. I feel like he's getting noticed a little bit more this season, but Bailey up against him feels like it might be a key battle.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this earlier, toying with the idea of thinking, you know, it's a lot of responsibility for Leon Bailey up against Anthony Robinson because he's got so much pace, and I think Bailey will probably have to do quite a bit of defending at the weekend. And I thought, well, you know, does that mean you move Bailey to really get the most out of him so he doesn't have to do so much defending? But then it's, you think, well, he's played so well in that right-hand side position that you can't really justify moving him, and he's playing so well that he has to start. So I suspect that it will be Bailey up against Robinson on the left, or on the left for Fulham, but the right for Villa. yeah, he's a very good player. As I say, great pace. He can get up and down. I think he'll be causing us problems defensively as well. If Willian starts on the left, he'll be cutting in, and then Robinson will be overlapping. So I think he's a very talented player. And I think, you know, a few other Premier League sides will be noticing him come the summer window as well, I would have thought.
Yeah, and we both touched on the midfield battle. It's important to get round João Paulinho, and it will be a lot harder without Boubacar Kamara. But I always think with Paulinho, he's a walking yellow card. As good a player as he is a walking yellow card. If you can get him booked early on in the game, you can envisage McGinn getting him on the turn or something like that and getting him booked. If you can get him booked early on in the game, that really restricts him, and I think that will end up restricting Fulham as well. So I feel like it's important to do that, because if not, I think he's capable of actually winning that midfield battle against us, whoever plays alongside him as well.
Yeah, I think Tom Kearney played alongside him last time out. And yeah,
we've got nightmares about Tom Kearney from years back as well.
yeah, exactly. I think the one thing with this Fulham team, they have conceded goals. So I think even if Villa go behind in this game, I don't think it should be panic stations, because Fulham have proved recently that, you know, if you can get into them, they can be a little bit fragile. They conceded against a couple of goals against Burnley. And then, I mean, having watched a little bit back of their game where against Bournemouth, they conceded, and there was palpable tension, a little bit of tension coming in within the crowd. So I think if Villa go behind in this game, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think, you know, there's a feeling at Craven Cottage that they will concede goals. And I think, you know, the crowd, if things get a little bit nervous, might actually work in Villa's favour in this game. Obviously, the ideal scenario, as it seems to be with this Villa side, is go ahead and control the game from there. But sometimes it doesn't pan out that way.
Yeah, I mean, neither of these teams find keeping clean sheets particularly easy. So you would think that both teams will score in this game. If I was putting on a bet, I think I'd definitely have over 2.5 goals and both teams to score, because, yeah, neither team feels like they're very good at keeping clean sheets at the moment. That does us just about, I think, for this match preview show. But it'd be remiss of me, Dave, not to congratulate you. Some big breaking news on David Reid's, and I said David Garrido then, on David Reid's Instagram feed last night on Valentine's Day, Dave. Congratulations, baby due in the transfer window, I believe.
Yes, end of July, it's due. So, yeah, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Obviously, it's an exciting time, isn't it? It's an exciting time. A little bit of anxiety, I must admit.
Of course.
But, yeah, an exciting time. Just if you'll indulge me for 1 minute, it's obviously a difficult...
I wish you'd stop moving your head around there, Dave.
it's difficult because, you know, we'd had a couple of miscarriages previously. Okay. Which is, you know, important for us guys to talk about. And, you know, it's one of those where the anxiety raises up. And when you announce stuff like that and you announce it, it means you've got to be excited. And when you're kind of still feeling a little bit anxious, it's kind of a bit of a step into the unknown. But to deal with all the emotional stuff, that's probably the hardest thing when it comes to this sort of thing. So, yeah, it's obviously very exciting and we're looking forward to it.
Well, you know, fair play to you for talking about that, because, you know, I'm class us as good friends and we've never spoken about that. And I can say that in my marriage that has since ended, we had 3 miscarriages, and I know that it's like a terrible thing to go through. And although I didn't get to the stage now that you're at with an announcement, I can imagine how that must feel doing that, knowing what's happened to you previously. So, yeah, fair play to you. And obviously everyone will wish you all the best with that, because I can imagine, just by what I went through, how hard that doing that must be. So, yeah, well, fingers crossed everything's okay. I take it you don't, is it too early to know whether it's a boy or a girl, or you wait anyway?
We do know, but we're just keeping it a little bit under wraps for the moment.
Keeping it under wraps. Maybe a Sky Sports News exclusive in July, August.
Could be.
We'll speak to Chris Siddle. We'll see if we can make that happen. I don't know whether we do it at the Totem, maybe whether we do it at the big screen, Dave. I'm not sure which one we do, but yeah, we'll get on to Sid's and try and make that happen. Right, that's a nice way to end the show. Talking about that, so yeah, looking forward to maybe being a godparent. Who knows what the future?
You might make the cut. You might make the cut.
It could make preview shows difficult because I have a dog situation here that I'm struggling to deal with. And if we throw a baby into the mix as well trying to do these preview shows, it could be very, very lively, Dave.
It could. It could. I've got to sort my mic issues first, though. That's the first thing I've got to sort.
I've been promising Dave a mic from the endless 1874 bank account for, well, since the start of the season, and I've not done it, and he forced my hand by breaking his own mic so that I have to go in and use the budget to get him a microphone. But yeah, we'll be back with a show on Monday, whether it be with Greg, whether it be with Jacob, unsure. Greg, of course, is still holidaying in Thailand. That seems to be where he lives now, but yeah, we'll work something out and we'll get a podcast out on Monday. Either way, mainly talking about the Fulham game. Then, of course, we'll do the usual rigmarole and there'll be a preview show this time next week at some point, I imagine. But do subscribe to the channel with your post notifications on so that you know when the shows are coming. Follow us on socials and all that jazz. But wherever you are taking in these podcasts, if you could just do all the stuff that helps us, it makes us appear in places we wouldn't normally appear, and that helps the channel grow, which is good for us and good for you as well, I guess. If the show gets more popular, maybe we get some more budget to afford better equipment, who knows. But yeah, safe travels to those going to Craven Cottage on Saturday. I've been there so many times and watched us lose, I don't think I'm gonna go on Saturday. But if you see me there, just, yeah, we're not getting 3 points, let's just resign ourselves to that fact now, because I think I've been 6 or 7 times and we haven't won at any of those occasions, and I remember 2 times I didn't go that we won. So yeah, we'll see what happens at the weekend. But yeah, have a good rest of the week as well, and enjoy your weekend, and as ever, up the Villa. Sports Social Podcast Network.